Evolution Radio Show, dein Programm für evolutionäre Ernährung, Training und Performance. In Folge 6 verraten dir Keith und Michelle Norris alles über PaleoFX, die Top-Tipps, um den Paleo-Lifestyle für dich zu Hause umzusetzen, mehr über die Untauglichkeit unseres Medizinsystems und der Ärzte, Glutenunverträglichkeit und was Experten von den neuen Paleo-Lebensmitteln wie Pizza, Brot und so weiter halten. In den Shownotes unter evolutionradioshow.de/006 findest du den gesamten Text des Interviews sowie einen Link zum YouTube-Video mit den deutschen Untertiteln. Die Podcast- bzw. Audiofolge hat nur das englische Original. Michelle Norris ist eine gelernte Köchin und hat in der italienischen Küche immer ihre eigenen Nudeln und Pizzateige zubereitet. Heute ist sie Geschäftsführer von PaleoFX und die Leiterin eines Catering-Anbieters in Austin. Gemeinsam mit Keith hat sie zwei Kinder. Keith ist Leiter eines Fitnesscenters, Blogger und Gründer einer Nahrungsergänzungsmittelfirma ID Life. Bleib bis zum Ende des Interviews dran, um mehr über ein tolles Goodie-Bag von PaleoFX zu erfahren und wie du am Gewinnspiel teilnehmen kannst.
Michelle, Keith, thank you for having time to talking to Evolution Radio Show. So, the first thing I have to ask you, what was your motivation to start PaleoFX? Do you want to go into that?
Wow. Okay, so we were sitting on a runway at LAX after, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Ancestral Health Symposium, yep. But we went to the first inaugural Ancestral Health Symposium. Ooh, trying to talk right now. Anyway, went to that, and Keith had spoken there, and we were sitting on the plane, and we were just talking about it, and our heads were kind of buzzing, and we were pretty excited about it, and we thought, you know, this was really great. It was a lot of, a lot of science. We're, science geeks, kind of like to geek out on that kind of stuff, but really, at the end of the day, all of our clients, they just want to know, what do I eat? What do I, what exercises do I do? How do I make this fit into my life? They don't really care about the science. They just want to know, how is this going to work? And so we really saw that there was a disconnect between the science and how do you put this into practice in your daily life. And so we just felt like that's what was missing. There was a missing piece there. And so it was, we started thinking about, what we need to do is have a little conference of our own and try to, have theory to practice. And that was really what we kind of started talking about. So PaleoFX was born out of what we felt was a need and there was kind of an opening there. So that was.
There really was a calling for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people that want the hard science, that's a minority. Most people want to know, what do I eat for breakfast?
Right.
How should I work out? How many days should I work out? How much should I sleep? All these actionable items that are ground level items.
Right.
But, and they might care about the science to the extent that they know it's in the background, but for me, for instance, and for Michelle too, those clients pay us to know that.
Right.
We are supposed to provide them the actionable items, and we keep our heads in the clouds and then help them down here. Mm-hmm. So the people we interacted with day to day, none of them would have gotten anything out of going to an academic symposium. They would have been over their heads, and they would have just been lost.
Mm-hmm. So then, I mean, now, when you first started, did you ever envision it to get the size it is now?
Not this fast. The vision was there to grow it, and that we thought that it would one day be the size of AHS. We had no idea. We had a business partner in the first year that said, you should, thought we would just do it at our gym, mm-hmm. Do some cooking demonstrations, do some movement sessions, do a few talks, and do it at our gym. But that partner said, no, you should probably, in a couple of years, we'd grow up to the size of AHS. But they said, no, you should go ahead and go big now, do it the same size as AHS the first year. So we did. We did that in 4 months, which we decided in August that we would do it. We were talking about it in August, and then by October, we decided we were going to do it. And in October, between October and March, we put everything into play, and in March we launched it. It was actually on our anniversary, was when the first annual PaleoFX started. And so it was surprising. What's interesting to us is we had no idea we doubled in size every year, and this year we tripled in size. So we were shocked by how much that this would be accepted and how much it would be embraced by the community and how everybody would be so willing to come along for the ride. So that's the part that we're surprised about, how big it would grow so fast. We had no doubt that we would eventually be a fairly good sized conference, but not this fast.
Yeah, I think one indicator of the growth of the paleo community overall is the amount of vendors, the amount of people who can actually make money at doing something that they love and providing either a product or a
service.
Food or a service that relates to the paleo community. Because the first year we had to beg vendors to come out.
Yeah.
Beg. And we had
first time.
Very, very few. And
I think
this
we had
year,
14 vendors. This year we had 100. We had 110 vendors, and we had probably about 25 sponsors, and we turned away almost 70 vendors. So,
which is a huge indicator of growth. If you can tie an economy to the growth of the movement, then that's huge. So we can see that trending up fast.
Yeah, so you're taking all that away from the fast food sales, eh?
Yes.
So,
thankfully.
So, Keith, in an interview, you told us Michelle had the gluten problem for a long time. So, but you didn't force paleo on her. You told her about it. You might have checked that out. But was it hard for you to see her suffer? And did you learn that in your coaching experience? How did you manage to do that?
So, was it hard for me to watch her suffer and know that I had, or at that time, I didn't. If this would have happened now, I would have known immediately what the problem was. At the time that it happened to her, I had an inkling, but I wasn't really sure. I knew she had problems that, at that time, I could tie back to what I thought was a gluten intolerance, but this was still, you know, very, very young in the movement. And like we talked a little bit earlier about the origins of the movement and how there was just a few people on internet, you know, forums talking about this. So I had a very, very good idea, but it is my nature not to beat somebody over the head with something, because as a coach, I realize that if the person does not accept and want to change, they're not going to change, and it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. So I tried to live more by example and kind of give ideas and hints to her, which is ironic, because she was very, very resistant at first to the idea, very resistant. But when she came around and she took grains out of her diet, and she actually did, and she has a funny story about how this came about. But when she finally did that and she realized how good she felt after that, she became the biggest evangelist for this movement. That, I mean, really, she is the one who's created all of this. She is the CEO. She is the moving force in all of this. So she went from, you're crazy. I don't know who this Rob Wolf and Art Devaney guy are, but they're crazy too. So go back and talk to your crazy friends about this. But I'm an Italian chef, and I can tell you, I have no gluten problems. She went from that to running this. So that was a huge transformation.
I think since Keith told us there's a good story about it, do you want to tell us your story to get gluten-free?
Well, so I'm my specialty as a chef is Italian, and I made my own pasta, pizza dough, that type of thing. And so what's interesting is, through all of that, we have teenagers in our house at the time, and so their favorites are pizza and pasta dough and, you know, all of that, I made all of that, and so those were their favorites. So they wanted those whenever there was any special occasions, that type of thing. And so anytime there was anything going on, we would make all of this. And of course, before he went paleo, Keith devoured all of that stuff.
Oh, it was good.
And it was very good. He enjoyed it very much. And so when he suddenly went paleo and he stopped eating all of that, if I made anything that wasn't paleo, he wouldn't eat it. He would make his own food. And so it was going on about a year he had been paleo, and I was having, I don't remember what child they had something going on, and it was their some kind of celebration or whatever. So I was making pizzas and pasta and what have you. And there he was making his own dinner. And I said, "You're like really never going to have my pizza or pasta again, are you?" And he said, "No." And then he said, "I really do think that you have a gluten issue. You really should get it checked out." So I did. I went and I got tested. I tested negative for the antibodies, because they don't test for the right antibodies for one, or at least they didn't at the time. And so the doctor that tested me, he's sitting there and he's falling asleep as he's talking to me. And he's telling me that, well, what he goes, "I really think that you might be right, that you might have some gluten issues, considering I had IBS, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. I had I've been diagnosed with early onset rheumatoid arthritis. I had everything. I had just all kinds of stuff going on." And he said, "But I think you might have some issues here." He said, "So what we're going to do is," and he's falling asleep telling me this, "we're going to cut into your colon." And I thought, "Oh, hell no, that's not happening." And so I went home, talked to Keith, and I was thinking, why do they cut into people? Why don't they just have people cut stuff out of their diet and see how that works? And so that's what I did. I cut it out of my diet. 3 weeks later, voila, I was perfectly fine. And but I was pissed. I mean, I was an Italian chef, and I was really angry that I had to cut all this stuff out of my diet just to be healthy. I was a food writer for another company, and I was writing on their website and doing recipe development and everything. And so I didn't stop that, because in my brain at the time, that was so carb overloaded, apparently, I really believed that at some point I was going to put that stuff back in my diet. I was in complete denial. And so I totally thought, okay, I'm just going to I'll figure it out at some point. And so it had been about 6-7 weeks I had been paleo, and we had not seen, our son played baseball, and our son had not, we had not seen all the parents for about, I don't even know how long it had been. We hadn't seen them for quite a while. And so we go to the first baseball game, and everybody was like, "Oh my God, you look amazing. You look so healthy, and you've lost weight, and what are you doing?" Well, I hadn't been doing anything. Mm-hmm. I'd been just eating paleo. What I didn't know, okay, so all women that are eating a normal diet keep about 12 sizes of clothes in there, because they fluctuate all the time. And so I always kept all these sizes of clothes, so I just, because I always yo-yoed back and forth. So I didn't ever really pay attention. I was just yo-yoing again. So I put, you know, the lower size clothes on, didn't ever think about it, that I was losing weight. And he saw me all the time, so he didn't really, you know, it's one of those things, he didn't really know. I'm sure he probably thought, "Oh, she's lost weight," but he didn't, like, peg it. But everybody was going, "Oh my God, you look amazing, you know, look so healthy." That's when the light bulb went off. That's when I was like, "Oh, I actually might know something that might help people." That's when I stopped writing for the other company and started evangelizing. As Keith says it.
On that thought, also, what do you think about all the mock foods, you know, paleo pasta, tortillas, bread coming out? Do you want to comment on that on a personal level, or from your training as a chef, do you use them? Do you find them that's good that they are?
I think there's a place for them. I think that what needs to happen is that there needs to be education for people who are new to paleo, for them to understand that there's a place for those at a time. Not when you're new to paleo. That you, when you're new to paleo, it's about learning how paleo works for you and how you can, what your template is. Because your template's not the same as mine, and mine's not the same as Keith's. Keith and I do eat very differently, even though we're in the same house and we have the same. I mean, he eats a completely different dinner than I do. Not totally different foods, but I don't eat exactly the same as he does. I can't get away with a lot of the carbs that he can get away with. He needs carbs because of the fact that he works out 6 days a week. I do not. I'm menopausal. I have some other needs. We're very individual people. And so your paleo looks very different than mine. I'm not paleo, I'm primal. I can take dairy. A lot of people can't take dairy. And so, and Keith can consume dairy for very well. And he actually doesn't have gluten issues, so he does like beer. Sorry, I'm saying it. I'm calling you out. Anyway, I'm joking. He likes a little bit of beer. And actually, Omission is really one of his favorite beers, and it's gluten-free. Okay. But so what I would say is that once you get through like a Whole 30, or you go through some type of an elimination and you figure out what are your trigger things, or what are your bugaboos, what type of inflammatory foods you have, and you figure those out, then, and you remove them, then, you know, there's a time and a place for you to have treats, and there's a time and a place for you to have, you know, some of these types of foods. But until you get that all figured out, you really should stay away from those things. Those are not paleo. Mm-hmm. They really aren't. They're under the template. They're healthier than the alternative. They're definitely better than Fritos, Cheetos, Doritos, and the regular pasta and pizza and that type of thing. They're definitely better, but that doesn't mean that they are paleo, and it doesn't mean that they should be part of your regular diet. They should be kept for, special celebrations or special times when you want to have something, or you want to have a cheat, or you want to have a, and that's the part of the thing is that, you know, or have the real thing. If you can tolerate it and you want to do it, you know, and know that you're going to probably pay for it later, and whether or not it's worth it to you.
So it's, the same problem occurs when we consume gluten-free products.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this as a trainer quite a bit, that, you know, clients will come in and they say, you know, oh, I had this, this, and this, but it was gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that's fantastic, but your insulin, you know, we still have the insulin problems, we
mm-hmm.
still have all the other issues that occur with the ingestion of any other carbohydrate. Step in the right direction, it's gluten-free, yes, but we still have all these other issues that we have to deal with. And then, and it's an education for a lot of people, because most people, in the U.S. at least, have been so brainwashed over the last 60 years as far as to what's acceptable to put in your body. And so for us, it's really re-education from, you know, fats, carbohydrates, and proteins. I mean, back to that level. And what does this look like? And what does a real food consist of? I mean, even that simple question, real food, what is that? It's not pasta. That's a refined food, you know. So these very, very basic educational needs that need to go out. So it's getting better. It's getting much better. But it's going to be an ongoing process to put this out. And this is, to a large extent, what PaleoFX exists for, is to educate.
Exactly.
So on the personal level now, what would be your number one tip for people that are new to paleo, to primal? You see it all the time, you said, in clients. So to get started on a lifestyle, it could be fitness, stress, diet. What do you think would be the number one tip you see all the time?
For me, and it depends on where people are, but I try to get people to remove added sugars out of their diet
mm-hmm.
first. If I can get buy-in on that, and I can get some movement out of them, those are the first two steps.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Dr. Fred Navarro, who's actually speaking right now, on the subject of habit change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's curious as to how different people react to different cues. Some positively, you can react positively to certain cues, and another group of people would just be totally turned off by the same cue. So as a trainer, it's tough for me initially with the first meeting to find out where this person is and how I need to cue, how I need to suggest. But in general, I try to get them to remove sugar from their diet first, added sugar, and I try to get them to move, just basic movement. And that those are the first two steps. What's curious is sometimes that's too much for somebody. Sometimes I can't move and remove sugar out of my diet. Pick one. And I would say, let's remove sugar out of your diet. Let's start there, and then we'll take the other step. Some people are like, oh, no. I want the full tilt boogie. Tell me exactly what to do. And some people are like that. You want everything? Yes, everything. Okay, we're going to remove sugar. We're going to remove grain. We're going to do this, that, 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 all the way through. We're going to do a full tilt, full 30 on you, and we are not only going to move, but we're going to throw in resistance exercise. Some people are fine with that. In fact, a lot of clients that I get are like that because they already know who I am. They kind of already get the story. So when they come in, they're already pre-filtered that way. So I'm kind of lucky in that way that I get the pre-filtered people who are ready to rock and roll from day one. But some people come to me just, they have no idea who I am. They just happen, you know, to find our website and come in. And that's a totally different crowd. And it's just teasing out the little bits that you can get from people.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, you want to add to that?
I'm the same way as that. Whenever I'm coaching somebody, is that I will coach them the same, pretty much in the same vein, is try to initially remove sugar and processed food. That's really where I start, is the processed food and sugar. And that's really the big thing, is if you can get people to get rid of the Doritos, Cheetos, and Fritos, I think you're doing really, really well, and particularly the sugar. And most of the time, that's really hard for so many people to just give up those comfort foods, and that they, and a lot of times people don't understand that's not food. I mean, like, they don't get it. They're like, well, that's good. No. Where do you grow a Frito? Where does a Dorito grow? I mean, like, and then they start.
These are really the basic things that you have to break it down.
Yeah,
to.
And they when you tell them that, then they finally go, oh yeah, okay. See, that's not a real food. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, real food is, you know, is an actual chicken, is an actual pear, is an actual apple, is an actual, you know, tomato. All of these things, and when you start trying to explain that to them and saying it's about real food, it's about just eating things that are real, not something that's grown on a plant, not in a plant, you know, that kind of thing, people start kind of connecting the dots and start understanding. But, you know, that people don't really think about it anymore. They just have grown up with it, and they, you know, their mom bought Cokes, and their mom bought Fritos and Cheetos and what have you. And so it's really weird that people don't connect that anymore. And you know, the whole idea that I'm like, what part of the chicken does the chicken nuggets come from? I mean, come on. They don't, you know, it's just such a, and I think, I can't remember where it was, but there was an experiment that was done, and they showed children how chicken nuggets were made and how disgusting and gross they were, and they still wanted to eat them. And I was like, how? What's wrong with our kids that they would want those things? So it's just really, for us, it's about educating and just trying to get them to take the baby steps. And that's really where I would start, is processed food and sugar.
So, I mean, right now we're right in the middle of PaleoFX 2015, middle of the second day. And so looking way forward to 2016 in May here, what can you tell us about the next PaleoFX already?
Oh, okay. Well, there's going to be changes, a lot of changes, for sure. What I can tell you is there's a possibility we're going to have to go into another building, which will be probably the Long Center next door.
In addition to where we are.
In addition to Palmer. Because we are at Palmer again next year. We have the whole Palmer already set for next year, Memorial Day weekend. Tickets are already on sale for next year, and they're only going to be on sale at the early bird price until Monday night. So there will be a lot of changes. We're really excited about what we did this year. We changed a whole lot of things, but I think we have to just keep changing it, make it better, and surprising everybody every year. So it's a bar that we don't mind having to raise every single year. It's not a problem for us.
People really love the festive attitude, vibe that we have here at this event. And I think that plays well to the fact that all of these people love to get together and rub elbows. They love to be part of a community. And that includes the speakers and presenters. This is the only time of year that they can come together as a group in one whole and talk to each other face to face. There's many smaller conferences and overlapping conferences that occur, but you might only see two of the people. this conference has everybody within the paleo community just descending on Austin. So mm-hmm. it's fun. And it's expanding, again, so fast that we've outgrown this house. Mm-hmm. And so now we're going to have to do an addition, move on to another one, and move on to another one, and move on to another one. So eventually, this will, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with South by Southwest that occurs in Austin. Big music festival here, an interactive festival in Austin, but it takes over the most of the downtown Austin when it's going on, and eventually
hundreds of venues,
and eventually this Paleo FX will be like that.
It's your template.
And that's how fast it's growing, and that's how much interest and enthusiasm that we have for this event too, which is great. We mm-hmm. love our community.
Mm-hmm. So Michelle, Keith, thank you for having a time. Such a busy conference
schedule.
Yes, thanks for having us.
And we'll hope we'll see you again next year. Yeah.
Yes.
And talk
yes.
to you soon again.
For sure.
Yes.
Thank
Great.
You.
Bye-bye.
Für deine Chance auf ein Goodie Bag gefüllt mit T-Shirts, Supplements, Stickern und englischen Paleo-Magazinen musst du uns nur auf iTunes eine Bewertung hinterlassen. In den Shownotes unter evolutionradioshow.de/006 findest du eine genaue Anleitung. Viel Glück und bis zum nächsten Mal.